Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live, well, it's not live, I'm taping it. I'm sitting here in my lovely office taping this, but I'm alive, and you're going to be alive when you listen to the show, so it's kind of a live show, and I'm actually here in Sacramento, I'm glad to be with you. Welcome to Assets and Aging, winding down the clock of life. Even as we speak, right now my last show is scheduled in about 2 months for the end of the year. I'm going to talk about today a whole bunch of eclectic stuff. I didn't even bring my big stack with me. I just have my little stack with me. We're not even going to go through the big stack of stuff. We're just going to go through the little stack of stuff. So I'm glad you're with us. Lots of stuff to talk about. Trust to talk about. I'm going to talk about trust a lot today. I'm going to talk about powers of attorney a lot today. I'm going to talk about probate a lot today. Going to talk about conservatorships a lot today. Going to talk about how all that fits into long-term care. Going to talk about my upcoming workshop on the 26th. That's a week from now. But first, let me get some stuff out of the way. Forgive me, my mind is wandering this morning, not because I'm losing it, but because I am confronted with a list of stuff I want to go through, and I haven't put it in any particular order yet. So bear with me. Remember, I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Thanks for joining me. 21 years here on KFBK, longer than anybody. Everybody else is a newcomer. Nobody's been doing this longer than I am. Nobody is more authoritative than I am. Nobody brings more sense to this subject than I do. It's certainly Northern California and maybe California's a leading voice on the issues of aging. I know there are a lot of other people who are pretenders to the throne, some of them out of the woodwork somewhere, but I'm it. You may even hear other stuff somewhere. I'm still it. I'm the one that's been doing this the longest. In fact, half the other people who do this, I taught how to do it. I was their teacher, so... It's important to know who's been around the longest and who's the best at this, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. So remember, I'm not an attorney and don't practice law. If you want an attorney, you should consult a good one. I don't know very many. Especially when it comes to long-term care planning, I can count them on one finger. There's an attorney in Southern California who's brilliant at this. Other than that, I don't know a lot. I don't care who you're talking to. Nobody knows more about long-term care planning than moi. But I'm not an attorney. I have a legal document assistant license. That legal document assistant license allows me to prepare legal documents. Yes, I can prepare trust and wills and powers of attorney and deeds and all that kind of stuff. I'm licensed to do that. I have a license in Sacramento County that allows me to prepare legal documents for you anytime. There's actually an association of legal document assistants. We have regular meetings that, we're bonded, we're all that kind of stuff. So yes, I can prepare legal documents at your direction and request. I've been licensed in California in Sacramento County since 2004. My bond and my license, I've been doing this 15 years, folks. My bond and my license are recorded in Sacramento County. I file a bond. I have to, all that good stuff to make sure I actually show up. I had to undergo special training. I had to be a college graduate. Had to be a bunch of stuff. But I'm not like a paralegal. A paralegal has to work under an attorney. I can work on my own. In my own office, I can deal directly with clients, and I can prepare documents for you. So why in the world would you go to anybody else? When you're talking to, the guy that's been doing this the longest, when it comes time to do your trust and powers of attorney, Why would you go anywhere else? But that's a story for another day. I am not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I can give you my opinion, but I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I do not give tax advice. I'm not a CPA. And everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should never be taken as any legal form or form of legal tax or financial advice. It's my opinion, although my opinion is pretty much right most of the time. Okay, a couple things. Don't forget there's a couple ways to get a hold of me. One is call me. I'll give you my 800 number. I'm in Sacramento, but I've had the same 800 number for 1,000 years, and it's the one, probably 35, 40 years. It's an MCI number. That's how long I've had it. But I'll give you my 800 number. I'll give you my local number, too, but I'll give you my 800 number because that's the one everybody knows, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. I will also give you my local number, 916-973-0916. You can also find me on the web. I have a big-time web presence. Big time. I have complete control over my web. Nobody else has control over, no outsider has control over my web. So I know what's there. I know what it says. My website is assetsandaging.com. ASSETSANDAGING. Assetsandaging.com. And you can go there. You can get all kinds of information. You can sign up for a subscription. If you're not a subscription member, you should be. There's a ton of information. And remember, every time, if you're a subscription member and you haven't received your free book yet, let me know. We seem to be having a little trouble with that, but let me know. There's so much information available when you become a subscriber to Assets and Aging. So much information. There's 25 tapes. There's special blogs. There's special information. I'm getting ready. I'm putting together a letter right now that will only go out to subscription members that has a super secret directive from Medi-Cal relating to nursing homes. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You're not going to find it in the news. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You're just not going to find it anywhere else. It's as simple as that. You're only going to find it if you're a subscriber to my website. And you can do that by going to assetsandaging.com. What else? You can call me. My next workshop is on the 26th. I don't have many left this year. It's only a week away, limited to 10 people. You better sign up for my workshop. Another place you should go, I wish I could do this. I wish you could see this. But I want you to go to my Facebook page. You can just go to Facebook/AssetsAndAging. Twice a week, at least, I do something called Facebook Live, which is me in my office in front of a camera and a microphone, and I do a Facebook Live on some subject relating to long-term care, and they vary from 10 to 15 minutes long, and they're terrific. They're terrific. You can listen to radio all day long. I love being on a radio, don't get me wrong. But looking at somebody and watching them and listening to them is a whole different experience. Well, twice a week I do a Facebook Live on my Facebook. I can take questions. I have people ask me questions. I'm talking about a particular subject. You can go to my Facebook page and you can watch, in addition to this radio show, you can watch all my Facebook Live videos. They're there. It's free. Facebook is free. There's no political hacks. We're not into any of that stuff. It's about long-term care. It's monitored on a daily basis. I control it. It's not controlled by a third party somewhere. We don't share information with anybody. We don't do that. You can follow me. You can like me. I now have lots of followers on my Facebook page. You can become one If you haven't gone to my Facebook page, you really should. It's interesting. At least two or three times a week, I'll run across an article somewhere, and I'll post that article with some comments about that article. I just posted one on, what was it? Sleep and its relationship to Alzheimer's, I believe was the last one I posted. I get articles all the time. All the time. And so go to my Facebook page. If you're not sure how to get there, just go to Facebook/Assets and Aging. And you'll find my Facebook page. And you can follow me. And you can watch my Facebook lives. When did I do the last one? 2 days ago, and today is Thursday. I'll probably do another one tomorrow. That's my goal. I'll probably do another one tomorrow. And you can watch them. You can get the information. You can read the articles. And when I do a Facebook Live, if you're a follower on Facebook, you get an email in advance that says, because I vary the times, because that way different people can watch at different times. But you can always look at the archives on Facebook. All my Facebook Live posts are there. So you'll get, if you follow me on Facebook, you'll then get an email that says, Bob's going to be on at 12 today talking about whatever. And you go to Facebook, and there I am at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or whatever time it is. I haven't done one at midnight yet. Maybe on New Year's I'll do a midnight Facebook Live. I don't know. It's probably the only thing that'll keep me awake that long. As we get older, it's harder to see that whole New Year's thing in. Follow me on Facebook. It's a wonderful tool. Make sure you subscribe to my newsletter and to my website, assetsandaging.com. Get to a workshop, or most importantly, get in to see me. You know, I had somebody in yesterday. It's so frustrating, folks. I don't know what to do. I mean, if everything I did was free, I would have lots of clients. Of course, I wouldn't be in business, but I have lots of clients. So I had somebody come in to see me yesterday. They brought a child. One of the parents has dementia. They have no documents. They have some terrible powers of attorney. And they have assets. And I said, I can fix this. And I can get Dad on Medi-Cal when he goes into a nursing home. And they left and they said they had to go think about it. And I literally stood up after I closed the door and I wanted to scream. I literally wanted to scream. It was like, when do people get it? When do people get that this is ugly? That the stuff that's going to happen when people begin to fail is ugly. It's full of icky stuff. It's full of misinformation. And what they were really looking for was a cheaper price. Not the person in town who's better at it than anybody else, but they wanted the cheaper price. Okay, so I guess you can go get anything at a cheaper price. You know, I don't know, they don't make Yugos anymore, but you could get Yugos at a really cheap price. There's a reason why Yugos don't exist anymore, because they were junk. They were cheap, but they were junk. You can go online and get all this stuff for $29. It won't work, but you can go online and get it for $29, and you can tell everybody, look at all the money I saved. I didn't have to go to Scrivano and pay money. I went online and I got it for $29. And you can hear all, I heard a lawyer say the other day that without a living trust, the government will take control after you die. That's not true. The government does, if you don't have a trust, the government doesn't take control after you die. There may be a probate, but that's an ordered court proceeding. The government doesn't take control over you. The government doesn't take everything away from you if you're in a nursing home on Medi-Cal and you die. That's not true. There's no 36 month look back for Medi-Cal. That's not true. And yet I've heard people say that on the radio, on TV, at workshops, all over the place. You're going to hear all kinds of people say all kinds of things that aren't true. I've written a book about this. You don't have my book? Come to one of my workshops. You can get my book. Sign up for my subscription, a premier subscription on my website, and you get a book for free. My book talks about this in detail. It's a great book. It's one of the best books ever written on the issues of aging. I want to talk to I want to get to my subject of the day, but I want to talk about trusts and wills. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I'm licensed to do this, but I've been doing this a long time, folks. I can prepare documents, but my intent here is not to give a legal opinion. It's to tell you what happens in real life, and my opinion and my observation over 35 years of doing this. What's the difference between a trust and a will? I'm going to give you a simple explanation. Draw a circle on a piece of paper. Don't do this if you're driving, but I'm doing it right here while I'm sitting. So I draw a circle. I'm drawing a circle on a piece of paper. And in the middle of that circle, write the word title. Title. Okay, now, what do you have that you have title to? So on the outside, you could write my car. You have title to your house. You have title to your bank accounts. You have title to, what else do you have title to? You may have a rental. Title to your rental. You may have title to whatever it is. You have title to everything. Yeah. Again, you put in that circle whatever you want. But usually it's your house, your car, your bank accounts, your brokerage accounts, your stocks, your bonds, that kind of stuff. You have title to all of that stuff. Okay? When you die, this is the best diagram I've ever gotten or done for explaining the difference between a will and a trust. So listen, and then you tell me if anybody else is going to explain it this easily. When you die, if you have a will, it usually, you hold title to everything as joint tenants. So when dad dies, everything goes to mom. There's no probate, nothing happens, because they own title as to the house and to the car as either Fred or Wilma, or the survivor of them. So everybody says, well, there was no probate when dad died. Because that everything was held in joint tenancy, usually. Your bank account had both names on it, house had both names on it, the brokerage account had both names on it. But the problem comes when the second person dies. Now, mom and dad have three lovely kids. And everybody says, well, they have a will. So when the will said that after they're both dead, it goes to the three lovely kids. Not so fast. That's not the way it works. First of all, wills have to be probated. So your will's going through probate. What's probate? Probate is a court process. What is it? Well, think of it this way. I have a will that says when mom and dad are dead, it goes to my three lovely children. But it doesn't, because when mom and dad died, title died. Title to the car, title to the bank accounts, title died. Now, there are exceptions to the rules. There's always exceptions to the rules, and somebody's going to point out the exception to the rule. Well, I had my daughter's name on it, but that's really stupid if you did that, so we're not going to go there. Don't put your children's names on your bank accounts. There's lots of reasons why. So when mom and dad died, title died. Well, I have a will. The will says the three kids get it. Manny, Moe, and Jack get it. That's it. It did. No, no, no. A will is a letter. A letter? Who's it a letter to? It's a letter to a probate judge. A superior court judge sitting in probate. It's a letter to the judge, and it says, Dear Your Honor, I'm dead now. My wife's dead now. I used to own this stuff. I don't own it anymore because I died. If it's okay with you, would you bang your little gavel and would you transfer it all to Manny Moore Jack. And the judge says, well, maybe okay. You usually named one of the kids as an executor. The judge doesn't have to agree with that, but usually will. And so after a period of time, minimum time is usually about 9 months, 10 months. After 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, a month and a half, a year and a half, the judge bangs his little gavel and says, okay, I, the judge, under the probate code, hereby transfer title that used to belong to mom and dad. I transfer title of the house, the car, the bank accounts, the brokerage accounts, all of that stuff, the money markets, the CDs. I transfer title of all of that to Manny Moe and Jack. Now Manny Moe and Jack each get. Now, most people can't do their own probate. I couldn't do a probate, and I'm licensed to do them, and I don't know how to do. I know how to do trusts and other stuff, but I don't do probates. But I don't have just a will, though, folks. Wills are expensive. They take a long period of time. They're subject to family fights. They're public record. You can go down and pull the wills on any current open probate and look at what's going on and who's fighting who and who likes who and who doesn't and what you owned and how much your last MasterCard bill was. You can go online. You don't believe me? Go to the county clerk and go to the court system and look up probates. And a will only goes into effect when I'm what? When I'm dead. Now, why did all this come about? Remember, go back to my little circle, and in that circle we wrote title. It's because when mom and dad are dead, the title holders are dead. A will does not transfer ownership. Contrary to popular belief, a will doesn't transfer ownership of anything to anybody. It's simply a letter of intent. Dear Your Honor, I used to own this stuff. I'm dead. If it's okay with you, would you transfer, when you bang your little gavel, would you transfer ownership of all this stuff to my three lovely children, Manny, Moe, and Jack? That is not a good process to have to go through. People who have been through probate will tell you it's not fun. Families will tell you it's not fun. It leads to family fights. It leads to squabbles. It leads to expense. The probate fees are fixed, but it can easily run into the tens of thousands of dollars to do a probate, which comes out of the estate. So it's money the kids don't get. Now, how do we avoid probate? It's really, really simple. It's really simple. And we're going to talk about it in the second half hour. Here's how simple it is. Make sure title resides in something that doesn't die. I'm really confused, Bob. Make sure title. Remember, why did this all come about? Because title belonged to mom and dad, and they died. Well, what if we could create title and place the title somewhere that doesn't die? Because probate was kicked off because the title holder died. And in the second half of the hour, I'm going to talk about that. I'm also going to talk about that on my upcoming workshop on the 26th. You should be there. You should be at my workshop on the 26th because I'm going to talk about this in detail. And I'm going to tell you why it works. I'm going to tell you how it works. And I may even tell you to go ahead and bring your trust along, and we'll tell you if that's going to work, if we think so. Does it have problems? Is it old? Is it out of date? Is it whatever? So make sure you get a hold of me and you get to my workshop on the 26th. Or if you don't want to wait that long because somebody's ill, get into my office. How do you do that? You call me at 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or go to Assets and Aging, ASSETS, Assets and Aging, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up there. That's next Saturday at 10:30 in the morning. Come rain or shine, Limit of 10 to 12 people. That's all the chairs I have in my boardroom. If you want the answers to these questions and you want to know about trusts and you want to know how they work, come to the person that has been doing this a long time. And the bonus you get is we're not only going to talk about why they work when death comes along, but why they work when long-term care comes along. So during the break, take time to give me a call, get to the workshop, get into my office, 800-999-8007, 999-8007. Don't go away. We're going to talk about the alternative to wills and powers of attorney in just a second. Stick around. You're going to want to hear it. It's important. Thanks so much for joining me on Assets and Aging. Give a call during the break and sign up for my workshop on the 26th. 800-999-8007. We'll see you in just a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. We're talking about all the issues of long-term care. And the issue we're focusing on today are trusts and powers of attorney. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. remember, not an attorney. I am a legal document assistant. I am licensed. I'm licensed to prepare legal documents such as trusts and powers of attorney at your direction and request. I am licensed by the state of California and the county of Sacramento, where my bond and license are filed. In fact, I carry it with me everywhere I go just because people don't believe there's such a thing, but there is. Even some attorneys don't know about it. So we're talking about long-term, we're talking about all of this as it relates to long-term care. So we talked about wills and why wills, what happens. And we talked, you can listen to the first half hour. By the way, if you don't hear this show in its entirety, you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and shortly after this, it will be posted on my website, and you can listen to it on my website, assetsandaging.com. You can also get a hold of me at 800-999-8007 if this is important to you, and if it's not important, I can't imagine why it's not. So we said wills go through probate because wills don't transfer title, and mom and dad died. They were the title holders, and a will is a letter to a judge, which creates a probate. All right, how do you avoid, and I said, how do we then avoid probate? And by the way, wills have no living benefits. They don't help at all with long-term care. They don't make any difference when it comes to long-term care. Wills don't go into effect until you're dead. So wills have no living benefit. None, zero, nada, none. Zero, nada, none. Not a zero, none. And there are lots of people doing them, and there are lots of people who don't know how to do them, and there are lots of people who do them only around the issue of probate. I don't care about probate. Probate's when you're dead. I care about what do the documents do if you're not dead. If you're mostly dead. If the stroke fails, what do the documents do? And a will does nothing if you're alive. So let's talk about trusts. Why do trusts avoid probate? Okay, I said the way you avoid probate is have a title holder who doesn't die. Well, if you create a trust, the Jones Family Living Trust or Revocable Trust, you transfer title of everything that you have, the car, the house, not the car necessarily, but the car, the house, your bank accounts, your brokerage accounts, your rental, your stocks, your bonds, whatever. You transfer it to the trust. There are some things you don't put in the trust, usually like life insurance and IRAs. Those pass by beneficiary, usually. We'll talk about those when it comes to powers of attorney. But I have now transferred title to the trust. Now, when mom and dad die, they were the trustors of the trust. They created it, but the title holder didn't die. Who was the title holder? The trust. Did the trust die? No, the creators of the trust died, mom and dad. We have new beneficiaries and a new trustee, which I'll talk about in a minute, but there's no probate because we don't have to figure out who the title holder is. The house, the title to the house was in the trust before mom died and dad and after mom died and dad. The bank accounts and the brokerage accounts were in the trust before Mom died and Dad, and after Mom died and Dad. So we don't have to figure out who the title holder is. What we do have to figure out is who's the new manager. Well, the new manager is who did you name as the successor trustee? Much like who would you name as the executor of the will? The big deal is you don't have to go to court. If you named your daughter as the trustee, she's in charge. As soon as she gets a death certificate, she's in charge. She doesn't have to go anywhere. She doesn't have to get permission. She's now in charge of the house and the bank accounts and the brokerage accounts. Who is she in charge for? The beneficiaries. There's three children. Your daughter, it could be anybody you want. I'm just picking somebody. Your daughter is the trustee. She manages the assets. She sells the house or does whatever she wants to do. She closes the bank accounts and pays the bills. And she writes three checks to all three children in equal amounts, and we're done. There's no probate. We don't have to figure out who's in charge or who the owner is. You don't need an attorney. You can do this. Believe it or not, you really can do this on your own. There's some rules you have to follow, but you can do it on your own. There are lists of how to administrate a trust and what are some things you need to do. And if you do need to hire an attorney, it's not a statutory fee. You can hire them for 2 or 3 hours to guide you through some stuff, and life goes on. No probate, and trusts are not public documents unless you record it, and nobody I know in their right mind would record a trust. Ta-da! It's as simple as that. Now, here's the really good news. First of all, we avoided probate. We don't have probate, but we don't have to be tied up in court for 9 or 10 or 12 months or 2 years. I have an attorney that I know of who once had a probate go on for 8 years because of family fights. He did really well with his attorney's fees, but the will was open for 8 years, the probate. And it was a gigantic family fight, okay? You avoid that. There's no probate. But here's the real kicker with trusts. When Mom and Dad died, the trust didn't die. In fact, it just started becoming powerful. And it really became powerful while Mom and Dad were dying. Remember, a will has no benefit if you're alive. Trusts are, that's where I think their real power lies. Not in avoiding probate. There's other ways to avoid probate. But where they really become powerful is allowing your loved ones, your family, whoever you choose, to manage your affairs if you can't. If Dad has dementia and doesn't know what planet he's on, how does Mom deal with stuff? If Dad's dead and Mom has dementia, how do the children deal with stuff? How do we deal with all the stuff that happens when someone's just frail? Well, that's where the real power in trusts are. Because trusts, if they're properly drafted, and a lot aren't, believe me, I see a lot that don't have any frailty language in them at all. In fact, I see a lot of trusts that have language that has the following under the amendment section. It says the power to amend or revoke this trust is personal to the trustors and shall only be exercised by them. And when you read that and when you figure out what it says that the trust can only be amended or altered by both the trustors, both Mom and Dad, while they're alive and while they're competent. So if Dad has a stroke, if Dad goes bonkers, in many cases, Mom can no longer amend, alter, or change the trust without a court order. Because the trust was designed to deal with probate after everybody was dead. Well, quite frankly, folks, in my world, I deal with very few dead people. They're not dead. They may be incapacitated, they may be incompetent, they may be frail, they may be whatever, but they're not dead. It's really, really important to understand that. That for me, that's the real power of a properly designed and crafted trust. I see a lot of trust done by a lot of people, and almost all of them are relegated to what I call wastebasket trusts. And that after everybody's dead, we sell everything and then throw them in the wastebasket. I want the trust to work while I'm still alive. I want the trust to have provisions in it that allows somebody to manage my affairs if I wind up in a nursing home or need veterans benefits or need Medi-Cal or need whatever it is. I need provisions in those documents that specifically deal with those issues. And I do those all day long. Now, are there other people who can do? Yeah, there. But why would you go to somebody else when you're talking to somebody that really understands this, has been doing it for a long time, and really understands that the real power in a trust is not avoiding probate? The real power in a trust are its living benefits. It's frailty benefits. It's frailty language. It's incapacity, ability to deal with property when someone's incapacitated. It's ability to protect everything. It's ability to obtain government benefits. It's ability to get the PACE program or IHSS or Medi-Cal long-term care or VA benefits or whatever it is. The real power in a trust is not avoiding probate. That's so simple, any idiot can do it, including me. The real power, and this is where I see the shortcomings in most documents, is they don't have frailty language. And for me, that's the real power of a trust. So why is there probate with a will? Because the title holders died. How do we avoid probate? We simply have title held by a vehicle that doesn't die called a trust. Trust can be written in two ways. One with a focus on probate, or one with an attention to probate, but a focus on frailty language. Mine are the latter. Because I've done close to 2,000 Medi-Cal cases, 1,500 to 2,000. All of those people had special requirements and special needs. You can go to other people, you're going to hear other people, you're going to see ads from other people, you're going to go to motel rooms. I can't tell you how many motel rooms I've been kicked out of where I went to workshops where they're doing $400-$500 trusts, and I start asking questions about frailty language. Well, it's great that it avoids probate, but can the trust be amended by the survivor? Can the trust be amended by the person holding the power of attorney? Can the trust be, does it have frailty language? Well, you have to leave. You're distracting from our talk. You have to leave. Our talk is to tell people we're going to avoid probate, charge them $500 and then $135 a month to maintain it. My trusts have no maintenance fees, folks. When I sit down with a family and I do this, there's no maintenance fees. When the trust is done and prepared, it will do what it's supposed to do. Now, there's lots of different kinds of trust. There's revocable trust, there's irrevocable trust, there's special needs trust, and I'm not going down that road right now. I can talk about all of those, but I'm not going down that road. I want to stay with the basics. And the basics are that for 25 years, this show has been dedicated to the premise that a lot of people spend a lot of time dying before they die. And that process takes special language, special consideration, and special care. So, I can do trusts. I can make sure your trusts deal not only with the issues of dying, but with the issues of frailty. I can do that. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes about powers of attorney. Powers of attorney are really important. Well, Bob, I got a power of attorney. I went online. I got one from a lady on TV, I got one from a podcast, I got one from a book, I got one from whatever, I got one. Yeah, what does it say? Well, I don't know, but I got one. How long is it? 2 pages. I can already tell you it's worthless. Well, I got the kind that has all the little lines and the bottom line says you initial this and it's all of above. And I can tell you that for the most part, those are basically worthless. And yet they're done all the time. They're called statutory form powers of attorney. There are two basic kinds of powers of attorney. One is one for property and one for health care. We don't call the health care one powers of attorney. We call them advanced health care directives. Because we don't have living wills in California, we incorporated the living will into the power of attorney for health care, and we now call that an advanced health care directive. Power of attorney for property is just what it says. Who can deal with, well, I got a trust. Why do I need a power of attorney? Well, because the trust doesn't deal with lots of stuff. Well, what? Remember, the trust only deals with things you have title to. Who could file your tax returns? Oh, I never thought about that. Who could sign a contract? Who could pick the nursing home you're in? Who could apply for government benefits? Who could do all that kind of stuff? If you were in a car accident and it was your fault, who could defend you or hire an attorney to defend you or vice versa? If you owed debts, who could pay your debts off? Well, even though you're still alive. Who's authorized? Who could find out what if you have life insurance? Who could deal? For instance, I had somebody the other day. Luckily, they have a power of attorney that will work, but the beneficiary of the power of attorney of the life insurance policy died. So who would it go to? It would go to the estate, which means it would be probated, and we're trying to avoid probate. Well, they have a good power of attorney, and they can use that to go in and change the beneficiary. There's 10,000. Who could hire domestic help? Who could hire a caregiver? Who could hire somebody to mow your lawn if they needed to? Who could hire a physical therapist? Who could hire a caregiver? Who can do all that? That's what a power of attorney for property does. My power of attorney for property is 25 pages long. There's a reason for that. Who can deal with a mortgage? Who could pay off a mortgage? Who could deal with all that? If you had savings bonds, who can deal with that? Who can deal with applying for military benefits? Who could deal with whatever? Who could deal with a safety deposit box? So powers of attorney for property become really, really, really important. It has to be really good. And there's two basic kinds of powers of attorney. And I'm not going to go into all the legal definitions, but one is called springing and one is called non-springing. A springing power of attorney only goes into effect when you're declared incompetent, usually by two doctors. In my world, I hate those. I don't want to run around trying to find two doctors to say dad's nuts while we're trying to take care of him. I prefer what are called immediate powers of attorney. My own powers of attorney are immediate, which means it's my personal opinion, which means they're in effect the day they're signed. And now, some estate planning attorneys will say, well, that would give your children the right to take your money. Well, if I'm alive and competent, it's going to be really hard. Well, but they could take it when you're goofy. Well, yeah, they could do that with a springing power of attorney. After they have me declared incompetent, then they could go steal my money. The point is, you better check, and you better well consider who you're giving your power of attorney to. And if you don't trust them, you shouldn't give it to them under any circumstance. But a good power of attorney, when I do a trust, I always do a power of attorney. And it's really, 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 really important. And it's really important. So I see powers of attorney all the time. Mom and dad. Dad has dementia. Mom and dad did powers of attorney 5 years ago when dad didn't have dementia. Who's mom's power of attorney right now? Dad. Is that a good idea? No. But they never thought about it. Well, I named an alternate. Yeah, but first, now you got to go have dad declared incompetent before your daughter can make decisions. So you're running around trying to get letters from doctors before your daughter can make decisions for you. The second kind of power of attorney, an advanced health care directive, is exactly what it says. Who can make medical decisions for you, including end-of-life decisions? They're really important, and what they say and how they say it is really important. It's really, really, really important. And it's important that you really have thought through who your agents are going to be. I have a saying, when in doubt, pick geography. So if you've got two kids that live in Pennsylvania and one that lives six blocks away from you, unless you hate the one that lives six blocks away from you, that might be the one you choose. Because property, financial stuff, you can do, you got time to do that. Medical decisions, you're sometimes making medical decisions within a matter of minutes. Literally, I've seen it happen 100 times. You're making medical decisions within a matter of minutes. It's just the way it is. So pick wisely. Can you pick two? Yeah. Can you make them together or either or? Yeah. So I want either, for instance, my sons, my wife is first on my advanced healthcare directive. My sons are the alternates, what's called severally and not jointly. So it's either or. So whoever gets there first can make medical decisions. I trust both my kids. They're both wise and they know what our wishes are. But I don't know who's going to get there first. Do you? When my mother was dying, my brother and I had her advanced healthcare directive either or. I got there first. Decisions had to be made from the minute I walked in the room. Did I consult with my brother? Absolutely. But was I free to make the decisions? Absolutely. Because I was the first one there. Had he been the first one there, he would have been able to make decisions. So that's kind of the documents that somebody needs to have and why. And I can do them. If you want the cheapest in town, I'm not it. If you want the most thoughtful in town, I'm probably it. Because I'm going to ask you lots of questions about who you are and what you want and what your circumstance is and is this for somebody that's already begun? I want to know about you first before we talk about documents. But if you don't have them, you're dancing through the graveyard. If you have weak ones, it's even worse almost. Because you think you have something, but you really don't. If you have nothing, you know you have nothing, and that's really bad. But if you have bad ones, that's also bad. If you have documents that really don't address frailty issues, for instance, can the person holding your power of attorney create a trust? Sometimes, for government benefits planning, we want to create irrevocable trusts. There's a reason for that. I'm not going to go into all of that. Do your powers of attorney give your agent under the power of attorney the right to do that? Do they? There's a whole bunch of issues when we start talking about frailty. And in my next workshop on the 26th, that's this coming Saturday, I'm going to be talking about this in great detail. In fact, I'm going to probably have people bring them with them. So if you want to get to my workshop on the 26th to explore this in more detail, all you got to do is call me today at 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. Or email me, go to my website at assetsandaging.com and get a hold of me right away. Get a hold of me right away and get into the workshop. But one way or another, make sure that the discussion that we've had today, and it applies to almost all of you listening, that you understand and you've done it. If you haven't had a trust reviewed, even by me, for 4 or 5 years, you probably need to get it reviewed and checked out. Because life happens and we don't really notice it. If you don't know where your trust is, you better find it. You better make sure somebody has a copy of it. People all the time lose their trust. So make sure you're doing what you need to do. Get in to see me, get to the workshop, make sure your documents not only deal with the issues of aging, but deal with the issues of frailty, that deal with illness, with incapacity, with incompetency, with disability, with all of those things. If you have a special needs child or grandchild, make sure you've addressed their special needs because you don't want them to lose their government benefits if you left the money in an improper manner. Make sure the people you want to be in charge are the people you've chosen, not who somebody thought was going to be the best. By the way, you can have different people. You can have different people who are trustees, different people who have your power of attorney, and different people who are agents on your healthcare directive. Because sometimes the people who can make financial decisions well, they get a little queasy around hospitals. And that's not the time for that person to be making decisions. I can help. I can make sure that when this happens to you, when frailty happens to you, when death happens to you, that not only can you avoid probate, but the people that you love and care about will be in charge and make sure that you can get any and all government benefits to which you're entitled or able to achieve or acquire. It's not just having documents. It's always about what they say. Well, and I have people, well, when I'm dead, our stuff goes to our two children. Yeah, but what if you're not dead? Well, what do you mean? Well, it's great that it goes to your two kids when you're dead, but who's in charge of your life and what can they do? And I'm always suspicious when somebody says, well, my kids can do everything, because no document says your kids can do everything. It says what they can do and what they can't do, what they're able to do and what they're not able to do. So give me a call today, 800-999-8007. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Get in to see me. Sign up for my workshop this coming Saturday on the 26th. You can get tickets. You can call me. It's limited to 12 people. The only subject that day is going to be trusts and powers of attorney and how to make them powerful. Thanks so much for listening. Glad to have you with me. Don't forget, you can call me at 800-999-8007. Listen to my podcast Wednesday, every Wednesday at noon, and my Facebook Live. Go to Facebook/Assets and Aging. We'll see you here next week, same time, same channel. Have a great day.